From Tally to Cali,
it's time to wake up.
Wake up. WarChant.com is your ultimate Seminole sports source.
And this is Wake Up WarChant,
presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill.
One more Corner Pocket.
Now here's WarChant.com's ass on Hunch of Andy
and Corey Clark.
Wake up! What is up, everybody? It's Wake Up War Champ, presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill. Coming up on today's show, the Noles walk into Gainesville and batter the Gators. It's a time to believe. Can you believe it? Nick Saban on Capitol Hill stumping to try to save the soul of college football. And apologies to one of our Big Ten fans. Wake Up War Champ, presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill, Tallahassee, Florida, cptallybar.com, the website. If you don't feel like typing, I don't blame you. Typing's a lot. Hit the QR code on your screen, takes you right to the website. Daily lunch specials, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. for only $8.99. On Wednesday, five-piece chicken wings and french fries. That's all you got to know. No choosing. It's laid out for you. The best wings in town and some fantastic french fries. Only $8.99 from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. today. Go over. Take advantage over at the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill. And don't forget tomorrow, bingo night, 7 o'clock. Test your bingo skills to win drinks and prizes. Always a good time at the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill, Tallahassee, Florida, 2475 Appalachian Parkway. WarChant.com, your ultimate Seminole sports source. Won't you the thumbs up, everybody? Won't you give us a five-star rating and review? Feel the good vibes. Corey Clark in the house. WarChant.com lead writer, senior writer, penning columns late on a Tuesday night after being an awesome dad, picking his kid up from hopefully a couple dubs in some JV baseball on Tuesday night. Fingers crossed.
Let me know if this makes me a bad dad. I bought the ticket. It's a $5 ticket to watch my son's JV baseball game. And then they announced the starting lineup, which they don't normally do at these games. And Brady's played in every game so far this season. But he missed practice on Monday because he had a headache. So I had a feeling that he might not be playing. But anyway, they announced the starting lineup. He's not in it. His old man gets on the road. What am I doing here? Would I rather watch Florida State play Florida in baseball or a JV Gwinnett County JV baseball game? So I chose the former, and I went home and watched Florida State play Florida. Does that make me a bad dad or a bad? How about this? Does it make Brady a bad teammate that his dad thinks like that?
No, not at all.
Okay,
it makes you a fantastic lead senior writer.
Right.
And teaches Brady that, you know, if he wants to spend quality time with his father, who's a busy man, who's got
get on the field.
Yeah,
earn
man.
Your way on the field. Be undeniable. Yeah. Don't give him an excuse to keep you off the field.
Exactly. Let's go. I hope Leonard gives those guys a really impassioned speech before they take the floor in Washington, D.C. later today as well, Corey. So hopefully somebody can maybe clip that up and give it to Coach Hamblin and inspire him as he talks to the boys. But LinkedIn need a lot of coaching up, man. I don't know. I don't want to go too big picture. I guess let's just dive right into it. Florida State improves to 15-0?
15-0.
12-8 win over Florida. I don't even really know if the final score was indicative of just how dominant Florida State was. They had, you know, a little bad inning there, but, you know, they still prevailed. Knock off the Gators, who are ranked 8th in the country, and Florida State is not ranked other than, I think, maybe 21st in the polls. For you, is it the offensive explosion just continuing against Florida, or a strong outing from Andrew Armstrong and some pretty decent bullpen relief, despite the fact that one of those innings things got away from them?
Yeah, no, I think the story there is in that game is just the offense. Like I know Florida didn't pitch their weekend starters, obviously. Neither did Florida State.
Nope.
But Florida has arms for days. I mean, the guy they had in the last inning that I think struck out the side was throwing 95. They got dudes just because they're they use some real bullpen arms, and they got all their guys. I mean, if you're pitching at Florida, you can play. And so I think, to me, that is the headline of that game is, man, we aren't just seeing things, and this isn't fluky, and this isn't just taking advantage of not great competition. This offense is legit. And by God, this offense is elite because it does not stop. Like I wrote in my column, Diamez Ross might not have a worse game in his college career. My man went 0-for-5, grounded into a bases-loaded double play with nobody out, turned a single into an inside-the-park home run on defense. He was not good at all, and they put a 12 spot on the board. Their leadoff hitter, who's a very good player and is going to have a lot of really big hits for this team, went 0 for 5, and they still put up 12 runs. And could it, you know, again, they had a bases loaded with nobody out and didn't score. They were real close to scoring, what, 15, 16 runs maybe? Mm. I mean, that it just it's 1 through 9, man. Lodi's had a couple of – well, the one double was maybe the biggest hit of the game, I thought, other than Tibbs' home run. You're up 7-0. You immediately come back and give up a grand slam. They're all unearned runs, right? They're five unearned runs because I guess of the pass ball. The inning started with a strikeout, but he reached, and then it ended up keeping the inning going, and they give up – Dorsey comes in and gives up the grand slam. For them to come right back and score – After leaving the bases loaded in the fifth inning, with the bases loaded, nobody out, don't score, Lodi's gets that huge double in the gap that kind of broke the game back open again.
Yep.
And then it just, you know, then I think that kind of took the air out of Florida's sails, and they just keep adding on, man. I just, you got a Lodi's who bats eighth, sometimes he bats ninth. The catchers with West and Holbrook are very good offensive catchers. That is a great platoon offensively. Defensively, not stellar. Not only did he have the pass ball, Jackson West, hold on to the ball on the inside the park home run. The game's over, man. Just don't let him. I mean, the ball was there in plenty of time, 15 feet to spare. So, you know, clean that up a little bit. But who's the weak link, man?
I know.
Well, I guess
that goes to your point about the fact that they left the bases. They had bases loaded, no outs, and they're able to score three runs the very next inning because that lineup is just nasty. You know, like they loaded the bases towards like the middle and bottom of their lineup, and they couldn't make anything happen. You know, Diamez Ross grounds into the double play mainly. And then that next inning, they start off with James Tibbs leading off.
Yeah.
And then it goes Ferrer and Ferreau, and then Dinges and Cantu and Lodi's.
Like, Dinges too, man.
Yeah,
I think he had a sack fly in that game, which again.
That in the second inning, sorry to jump you. Like, I thought that to me was. I know they end up scoring like, you know, three more runs when they really needed to get some distance. But that second inning, to me, that was like the real. Heartening thing to see because we know they can hit all these extra bases. You point out their slugging percentage, but that second inning, those three runs were scored basically because they had a sack, they had a fly ball that they were able to move both runners 90 feet, and then Dinges has a sack fly to bring in the first run of the game, and then on an E4, which I don't even know how you score two guys on an E4, and they were able to, but yeah, Dinges had that sack fly in the second inning to get the game started for him.
Yeah, so that I mean, they do some little things pretty well. Like I said, they put the ball in play. I think their last five outs were strikeouts, but they had a 7-run lead when that happened. Like up until the final five outs of the game, Florida State had struck out 4 times. Meanwhile, for the game, Florida and they end up striking out 9 times. For the game, Florida State struck out 15 Florida batters. A lot of big ones too, with the bases loaded. The kid trying to dip his elbow in to draw the hit by pitch when it was a strike. But I'm glad the umpires got that right. But yeah, I think so. That's what I wrote. Is like, look, man, it's and I don't want to give away everything. I'm not going to give away the cow when you can get the whatever it is.
No.
But you know, it's a midweek game, right? So in the grand context of college baseball. It's not the biggest thing in the world. Like Duke just won 2 out of 3 at number 1 Wake over the weekend, then comes home and loses to Rider. Like college baseball is goofy, and midweek games, you don't put a ton of stock in them usually. But one, you do when it's a rival.
Mm-hmm.
And two, you do when you're 14-0, but you're about to take up a huge step up in competition on the road, and you want to see really kind of where you stand. And you want to have a fan base that starts to really believe. Well, you go on the road and put up a 12 spot against the Gators. The last time Florida State scored 12 runs against Florida, Buster Posey was the catcher. So when you start doing stuff like that, then, yeah, you're like, okay, now this team could be a lot better than we thought. And, oh, my gosh, this coach might be incredible. And that's just one win. I get it. It's one game. It's on top of 14 other ones, but this was by far the biggest win of the season. But it kind of just, because it reinforces what we thought we were seeing already against real competition. Now, don't go over out there this weekend and lay an egg in the start of ACC play, but if they take care of business, win the series like they should against Notre Dame, you hope they do. I texted you during the game, Aslan, like they look like Florida looks physically.
Mm-hmm.
When they get in the box, it's like yeah, this is what a Florida State baseball team should look like. They're big, physical, powerful men. They don't look like they just got off the high school JV team. And I'm not saying that guys like that can't hit. Clearly, if my son ever makes it anywhere, he ain't going to be a physical freak. But I'm saying, like, they've got physicality, 6'2", 6'3", 6'1", 200 pounds, all up and down the lineup that can move. It's just, man, you don't – they haven't had a lot of Daniel Cantus. That guy's a monster, and he's batting seventh. Lodice is a big kid. They're all big besides Ross. Yeah, it's just that was – so they look the part physically. And they battered Florida pitching. I mean, they had great at-bats all night. It was encouraging. Doesn't mean they're going to win the Omaha, but it's encouraging that this program has taken such a big step in 1 year.
Well, yeah, and to the the point I was trying to kind of start us on here with that as well is the fact that, like, yeah, they are hitting extra base hits. Lodice hits that double in the sixth inning with two outs. Like, it's timely hits.
Right.
But they're also doing all the little things smart that you were pointing out and underscoring what I was saying. And, like, man, they're playing pretty clean in the field, other than Diamez Ross, getting a little too ahead of his skis there, which is crazy because they did not, there's no errors. Florida State did not get charged with any errors in Gainesville last night. So go figure on that.
Yeah, they gave up 5 unearned runs, but that's because it was a pass ball, which, yeah, I guess count as unearned runs.
Yeah. But, Cam Smith is still fielding well at third base. They're still strong up the middle. And to see all that sort of stuff and the fact, I know they did the bunt that you didn't like. Coming after, getting.
Well, it didn't end up mattering because he walked. He worked a walk. Yeah. But, yeah, I never liked bunting on a 2-0 count.
But they did some of that stuff. They did some of that stuff later on in the game, and it kept the game going. It just, I don't know if they're going to be able to mash their way into where they want to go, but it feels like no matter where the game's going to take them, they're capable of figuring it out. They're that sound. And, that fourth inning was scary. I mean, they were up 7-0, and then they hang 5 runs on you on the grand slam. I don't know if you should have given, when they took out Joe Charles, I was like, let him keep working through it. What's the worst, he's going to do? Walk somebody in to score a run? Don't let a grand slam happen. And they let a grand slam happen. But, the fact that they didn't let that get in their way, especially after they loaded bases themselves and weren't able to bring anything across. I'm pulling up the box score. I remember this game. It was 2019. I think they were still mired in the losing streak they had in Gainesville, which, you talking about midweek games maybe not being the biggest thing, but it is your rival, and it was in Gainesville where they've struggled mightily for the longest time.
Yeah.
That game in 2019, they were up 6-0 in the bottom of the fifth. They lost that game 20-7.
Yeah.
This team now is so much in the image of, Link Jarrett now. This roster is completely flipped for all intents and purposes. And we know what he did at Notre Dame, so the fact that he's flipped it, they look this good, that he's had great, great success elsewhere. That's why I think that the optimism, at least for me right now, is so sky high, because every reason to believe is there for you right now after this game, I feel like.
Yeah, and I going back to the pitching, I was impressed with the pitching. I mean, I don't know what they ended up giving up, but I'm going to look it up real quick. I want to see what they just earned runs.
Three,
yeah, and two of those were on Lauk, I guess is how we pronounce it.
Yep, correct.
The kid that came at the end that only happened because of an inside-the-park home run that was a single. Yep. Those were the only – so they gave up essentially one earned run to a really good offense. Like, I don't know what Florida is pitching-wise, but that's a very good offense. And you gave up one earned run, and what I really liked – and I know, trust me, folks, we were not going to spend 30 minutes just on baseball, one baseball game. There's 40 more to go. Maybe 60 more to go, Aslan. They might get hot in ACC. They might win their regional supers and win it all in Omaha. But Carson Dorsey, so he comes in. Is it his second pitch he gives up a grand slam?
I think so, yeah.
So I don't know. I guess I don't know his backstory. I don't know how good he was in high school. I'm going to assume he was pretty darn good. I assume he hasn't given up a lot of grand slams in his life, and I can promise you he has never given up a grand slam in an environment like that. In a situation like that, when your team had a 7-0 lead and now all of a sudden it's 7-5 and you still got 4 innings to go or 5 innings to go or whatever it was. But, man, talk about responding.
Yeah.
That was the only hit he gave. He gave up only one more hit the rest of the way. He struck out 4 of the, 8 batters he faced. Just nothing but heat, really, either. Like throwing 94 to 95 gas from kind of a weird arm angle. I just thought that said a lot about his moxie. To be able to rally and recoup and not melt down after giving up a grand slam. That was really cool to see. That you talk about encouraging. Armstrong pitched well, but you know what Armstrong is. But Dorsey and then Rowan coming on, and you know he's a little wild, but he's wildly effective, and he's a, by God, he's a bulldog. He's a guy that likes. He's one of those dudes that gets fired up. It does a little spinny do after strikeouts. But I was impressed with him too. Like they've never been in a moment like that, either one of those kids. And for them to be in that moment and strike out, what they pitch together, they pitch
strikeouts combined.
Yeah, but together, just Dorsey and Rowan pitched 3 2/3 innings.
And that's seven.
So that's 11 guys they face. They struck out seven of them.
Yeah. That was the most strikeouts, tied for the most strikeouts that the Gators had this year.
All right, well, there you go. But I just like those. I like that what it says about those freshmen in that moment, that they handled it like that. You know they have stuff. Clearly, that's obvious. Just you could watch them and know they have stuff. But to handle the moment like that is really good to see. That's really, really impressive. Defense was solid. I mean, they'd have to make a ton of plays because of all the strikeouts. And that offense plays, man. That offense is, you know, that there's nothing fluky about that thing. It you know, look, there will be series or games, certainly games, but maybe even whole series or weeks where they slump a little bit.
I don't think there'll be weeks. I think I can't. They can have a bad midweek and a bad weekend series, but I think by the next time that midweek rolls around, whoever's in that slump will be out of it. Or
yeah, a week. Yeah, I don't see them going weeks. I meant like a week. They might have a bad week or a bad series, a weekend. But man, it's hard to imagine just with the way they hit, the approaches they have, how much solid contact they make, that they're going to go into prolonged a slump. That offense will be there. Should be there all season.
Provide they stay healthy. And they do have some options, but like if you lose Cam or James Tibbs, like those, you know, that's obviously a big deal. But, you know, they've got so many guys that have had hits and RBIs this year that you feel like they could, as long as it's nothing that's going to linger too long, they could probably hold down the fort for a little bit.
But doesn't it seem like, Aslan, and I'm really trying not to get a hold of myself, but it's like I've covered this program for 15 years now or 16 years, whatever it is. They never play well against Florida.
No.
Ever. And especially for this guy in his second year after that all-time awful season a year ago, the worst season of program history, to now be 15-0 and have just put up 12 runs in Gainesville and had some freshman arms kind of light them up from a pitching side, you start to think, okay, is Link Jarrett, like, awesome? Do you have one of the best coaches in the United States? I mean, I think we thought that when they hired him, but you didn't know. And you certainly didn't know how quick it could be. And now all of a sudden you look, and I know it's just 15 games, and I'm really kind of concentrating on just one game, one of the 15. But in 1 year, you stack those two teams against each other. Florida is not far and away better than Florida State. Obviously Tuesday night they weren't better than them at all. But even if those teams played 10 or 12 times, it's a pretty even series. Maybe Florida State wins it. Maybe Florida State sweeps them. I don't know. Florida State might be the best team in the country, folks. Who knows? But the fact that they've caught up already and they look like this already in his second year, yes, it says something about the transfer portal. I get it. I assume Rising Spears knocking it out of the park with some of these guys. But it's also evaluation, it's fit, and it's development too. But, I mean, it's just all that together. You're like, man, okay. Another game without an error. Didn't strike out double digits. Still, you know, I don't know how many times they've struck out more than their opponents this year, but probably not at all. That just, again, you're starting to think like, okay, man, he might be putting in place a really strong – they might be getting back to where they were a long time ago. Like, that's how good he could be potentially. But maybe I'm too far ahead of myself.
I'm out over my skis. Man.
It's just 15 games. But, man, to go from what they were last year to 15-0 is, golly, it makes you wonder how good this guy really is and how good this team can be.
I mean, Kyle Peterson said it. He's like, the only thing you can maybe knock Florida State for is bullpen depth. He's like, but that's every single team in the country right now.
Right.
I mean, that's where you'd have to be extremely nitpicky and blind almost to try to figure out something to really dampen the enthusiasm you have for this team after the way they performed on Tuesday night in Gainesville. By the way, the Gators 42nd in the country in scoring, so that's pretty decent.
What's Florida State?
Florida State is – this I don't think is included what happened this past night, but they were fourth going into that one.
Yeah, I assume 12 helped them a little bit.
Yeah. Or actually, no, they might. It looks like, yeah, the NCAA's got it listed. They've got the 12-8 final listed here, so I'm sure it included. Florida State, second in batting average in the nation, sixth in slugging, ninth in OBP, fourth in scoring. Seventh in earned run average, and they're fielding at 980 right now, which is 27th best in the country.
And they've only been thrown out stealing once.
Yeah, 25 out of 26, or maybe they got two on Tuesday night.
Yeah, 26 out of 27 or 27 out of 28, something like that. Yeah, man, it's just they got different ways to beat you. I think Cantu is about poised to – man, he hit his ball off the wall probably as hard as Tibbs hit his ball. Mm. It just – he didn't hit it high enough. But that ball was smoked. Yeah. And, again, I remember – and then we're done with baseball. But I remember one of the series, you back when Florida State had to go to Florida every year in the Supers for like a decade. It was DJ Stewart's last year. So we go, I think Pete Alonso might have been on that Florida team, but he wasn't even like their big star at the time. They had that catcher that Schwartz maybe. But anyway, it doesn't matter.
JJ Schwartz.
But we got there early because there was nothing to do. And we were just watching batting practice. And Florida State's got DJ who hits him into the parking lot. And then everybody else is hitting wall scrapers or ones that short hop the wall. Then we watch Florida take batting practice. And it is like, I don't even know what to say, like a rocket show. They're hitting them off the O'Connell Center. You're hearing car alarms go off in the parking lot. I didn't know who Pete Alonso was at the time, I don't think, but I was like, who is this guy? This guy hits it farther than DJ Stewart. I've never even heard of him or one of them. But anyway, their whole team just mashed. They looked the part. And it's intimidating. Oh, my God. He hit that one 480. He hit that one 510. That's 470. That's off the – that just hit a woman. Like, all those – it was a crazy show. It was a crazy laser show in batting practice. And that's what this Florida State team reminds me of now. They're probably not as good as that Florida team was. You'd have to look it up to see what year and who all was on that team, but it was loaded. But – you just look and like Lodies, Dinges, right?
Yeah, Dinges.
Obviously, Ferrer, Cam Smith, Tibbs, Cantu, who has not hit a home run yet, but certainly can hit it as far as anyone and will hit a home run or a few this year. It's just – it looks like one of those monster college baseball teams from many moons ago. Mm. But they can do other things as well, too. They're not just a – it's not just gorilla ball. They can go. They can play defense. Apparently, they can pitch a little bit, and they can run the bases. But they look the part, man. Yeah. They just so much look the part.
Notre Dame comes to town this weekend, ACC opener for the Noles. Notre Dame coming off a sweep at the hands of Virginia Tech. They took out Radford last night. They play Radford later today as well. But
so Notre Dame swept Virginia Tech.
No,
they got swept.
They got swept. They're 10-4 on the season. So they lost those games 11-3, 10-5, and 11-8.
Oh, so they're not great pitching then. You would think that doesn't bode well. But they're 10-1 in their other games then.
Yeah, there you go. And the following weekend, I think Florida State goes to Clemson.
So if you
want to be one of those people that has been hurt too much by Florida State baseball and you really want to wait, we'll let you do that for one more week after Clemson. But then after that, you got to come aboard and be as excited as Corey and myself are. Maybe if you took some Vitamin Energy Mood Plus, that would help you out, everybody. VitaminEnergy.com, promo code WarChampBogo, WarChamp B-O-G-O. Buy one item, get one of equal or lesser value for absolutely free. I need to see if that also applies to the merch. Somebody copped a t-shirt at a giveaway, and I saw him around town. He's like, hey, man, like, is this your company? I'm like, would I be working if I owned Vitamin Energy? I'd be on a boat somewhere.
Right.
I'm like, it's not. He's like, I love the shirts. They fit great. So I should maybe see if the promo code applies to the merch. But I know it applies to the award-winning, clinically proven Vitamin Energy Energy Shots. Energy with benefits. These things are packed with vitamins and nutrients. The Mood Plus has not only 260 milligrams of all-natural caffeine, but chamomile flower extract, lemon balm extract, passion flower extract, valerian root extract. Just puts you in a great state of mind. Remember that time everybody had to drive home at like 6 o'clock in the morning, help my mom move into her new house, and I always end up, you know, clashing horns with my mother, my poor sweet mother. I took a shot of Mood Plus beforehand, and I was the best behaved son I've ever been. So what else do you need? It's clinically proven as well. VitaminEnergy.com, promo code Corey.
Or Champogo.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
On the way out, Corey, got to do a little forcing of the football, if you don't mind. I don't know if anybody's ever said so much without saying something. Maybe I've done that before on the show, but your thoughts here as we play a clip from our nation's capital, Senator from Texas, Ted Cruz, doing a roundtable of college athletics discussion with numerous important people, including Nick Saban. Senator Cruz asks him a question, and here's the response and the follow-up.
How much did the current chaos and state of the law contribute to your decision to retire now?
Well, all the things that I believed in for all these years, 50 years of coaching, no longer exist in college athletics. So it's always about developing players. It was always about helping people be more successful in life. My wife even said to me, we'd have all the recruits over on Sunday with their parents for breakfast, and she would always meet with the mothers and talk about how she was going to help and impact their sons and how they would be well taken care of. And she came to me, you know, like right before I retired and said, why are we doing this? And I said, what do you mean? She said, all they care about is how much you're going to pay them. They don't care about how you're going to develop them, which is all what we've always done. So why are we doing this? So, you know, to me, that was sort of a red alert that we really are creating a circumstance here that is not beneficial to the development of young people. And I want their quality of life to be good. I think, as I said before, name, image, and likeness is a great opportunity for them to create a brand for themselves. I'm not against that at all. But to come up with some kind of a system that still can help the development of young people, I think, is paramount to the future of college athletics.
What do you think about that, Corey Clark?
What if they had, you know, they have salary caps for rookies in every sport. Whoever's the number one pick this year, I assume it's Caleb Williams, there's only so much he can make. Yeah. There's only so much whoever the big European is that gets drafted number one in the NBA. There's only so much he can make. Maybe all these schools, there's only so much they can pay a freshman. I don't know how you'd enforce it. I don't know who'd even police it. I don't even know who would even hand out that edict. But otherwise, what does it matter? He's right. We all know he's right. I would say this. He says that his wife told him that they don't care about any of this. They only want to care how much you're going to pay them. Well, isn't that kind of like a lot of people went to Alabama because they knew they could get to the NFL if they went to Alabama. So it's...
Yeah, but his thing was that we would help develop you to make it to that level. But you,
right,
you,
but
you
they
don't care
also
about that NFL
sold
contract now. You want your money now in
right.
an NIL deal.
But it was still a decision based on money.
Yeah.
Now, it was money 3 years away, not immediately. But it was still a decision. There, I'm sure there were plenty of players, a lot of players. Who wants to live in Tuscaloosa, everyone? Are you kidding? So there were a lot of players that would have rather gone to other places. But the promise or the potential of making millions of dollars in the future by going to Alabama and getting developed, sure, but going to Alabama, they made that decision, almost all of it, because of financial reasons. They thought if they went to Alabama, and Lord knows hundreds of them were right. If they went to Alabama, they had a better chance of getting the NFL and taking care of their family and providing for their family. So that's why they chose Alabama. Alabama presented that as a reason to come to Alabama. If you come here, your chances of being in the NFL and being a millionaire go up exponentially than if you go to, say, Tennessee or Florida, wherever else you're thinking about. They sold that. So it's a little hypocritical to lament the fact that all these guys want is money when that's what you've been selling for a decade and a half, is if you come here, that's your best chance of making a lot of money in the future. That said, we all agree with Nick Saban. It's out of control. I mean, I know he didn't say that, but it's all out of control. We can wring our hands about it, but it absolutely is what it is. It's just not something that's enjoyable for people that have not accomplished anything to get into getting in bidding wars for kids that might not be any good at all. And again, what I think is worse, Aslan, and I'll beat this drum until it has been evaporated, that each year is another bidding war for that player. Yeah. That's my biggest problem. If you win a player's services because you have a really good collective, it needs to be multiple year contracts. It just needs to be. I don't know how you can. I just think these collectives need to, get together. I know that's probably illegal, but they need to get together and collude and say, guys, we are not giving 1 year contracts. If anybody signs with us, it's going to be for 2 or 3 years. At least you know you have a player for 2 or 3 years, and you can't lose them to someone else. Yeah. Because again, nothing wrong with contracts. Nothing wrong with paying players. Kirk Cousins is going to make $45 million this year. Super Bowl, baby. Super Bowl.
How stoked is everybody in the A? Is it buzzing right now?
It's not buzzing necessarily, but, man, the quarterback play has been so bad. And you're like, okay, he'll be a steady force. He'll get it to the London. He'll get it to Pitts. They'll be a good offense with him. They're not going to win a Super Bowl, but they weren't going to anyway. So, no, they're not exactly buzzing. But he's making $45 million. What's the beauty of that is he can't, in November, get a better offer from the Steelers and go there. He's locked.
Yeah.
And that's what's so chaotic. Is she's right. All the players that you're recruiting, especially at Alabama, I shouldn't say all, most, are being offered lots of money from a bunch of different schools, and if you want them to come to your school, you have to pay up. Who could blame them? I seem to remember Nick Saban signing a lot of contracts where he got raises. Who would blame him? I think Texas might have offered him a lot of money 10, 12 years ago, maybe 10 years ago. I feel like he worked himself a nice fat raise from Alabama because of that. So we're all our going rates. We're all market rate, but the problem is Saban – well, I was going to say Saban signed a contract, but what do contracts matter with coaches either? That's it, man. That's another drum, and I'm done with this. I'm done with talking about this. But really establish – coaches can't bitch about the fluidity of a roster and how a player can leave and there's nothing keeping him there. He can go to the highest bidder. They all go to the highest bidder. So Mike Norvell, again, I only use him because he's Florida State's coach. He left Memphis for a lot more money. You know, he was
a significantly better opportunity for his.
Correct.
You know,
correct. But and I was going to say goals. To his credit, I think Alabama could have paid him more than Florida State could have, but he stayed. You know what I mean? Like it's you also have to think about your career, but all of these coaches and mostly assistants, head coaches, you're always looking to better yourselves and. None of your contracts are multi-year contracts either. They are if you're not, they are if you're not very good. You're going to get all your money if you get fired. But if you leave, your buyout is what a tenth of what it is. If, you know what I mean? It's just
right.
So they don't have a real a leg to stand on when it comes to lamenting the fluidity of rosters and having to re-recruit your roster every year. I bet Michael Alford can relate to that. He had to re-recruit his head coach this year, maybe, potentially. All these ADs and presidents of these good coaches always have to go back to the bargaining board because that's what Jimmy Sexton's going to make them do. And so apparently players have that power now too. It does make it chaotic and tough to get behind. But just because it's just like they haven't, especially with the freshman, man. It's like, what have you done? Who are you to be getting this kind of money? And I wonder, Aslan, do you think the players in the locker room know what the other players are getting?
Man, they gotta know. I just can't believe they wouldn't know.
They probably have an idea, right?
Yeah.
But I wonder if they know for sure. Like, this is what – or if you're bargaining with the Battle's End, you're like, well, tell me what X, player X is getting because yeah. I want to make 1,000 more than him because I'm better than him. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder if that happens. And I want to see the documentation of what he gets. Show it to me on the Google Drive, the Google hard drive. I want to see it.
Freedom of Information Act. Freedom of Information
Act. Yeah, that's right. This is a sunshine state. Give me that information.
Oh, gosh. All right. Really on the way out, shout out to our guy Noiler, which the name Noiler is a combination of Noel and Boiler.
Okay.
It'll make sense here in a minute. So our guy was having a rough day on Tuesday morning and decided to make a post on the Tribal Council. And then he listened to our podcast from Monday in which we talked about and maybe denigrated the Purdue Boiler Makers.
Mm. Uh-oh.
The Purdue Slander's out of control. Corey Clark, sports historian, needs a history lesson. I'm here to give it. Not sure why Purdue's in the crosshairs of every Big Ten topic concerning schools that suck, but I cannot stand idly by any longer. You know who does suck? The Hoosiers of Indiana and their stupid candy stripe warm-up pants.
Amen.
Minnesota? WTF have they ever done? Michigan State sucks. Their jerseys are gross. Rutgers? Come on, man. Freaking Rutgers is boring as hell. Northwestern? GTFO. As you can see, if you want to rip a Big Ten team, there are plenty of options. Why must you always pick on my Boilers? Black and gold unis are dope. Purdue Pete mascot. Boiler up. Drew freaking Brees, Len Dawson, Bob Greasy, the cradle of quarterbacks, Leroy Keyes, Mike Allstott, Glenn Big Dog Robinson, Gene Cady, and his glorious non-hair. The Big Maple and the best basketball team in the country. Solid baseball program, really good golf program, and guess who's beaten Notre Dame more than any school in history? Purdue. I can go on. This is just a start. The Purdue slander must end, sir.
I mean, I did say Neil Armstrong, right? I don't feel like a lot of our listeners knew that Neil Armstrong was a Purdue alum.
I did not know that. You taught me that. Thank you, Corey.
I might be wrong. I might have completely dreamt that or made that up. No, but I think Neil Armstrong went to Purdue. So I know a little bit about him. And look, you're right. That's fair. Minnesota, Northwestern, Purdue, excuse me, but Purdue as well. Throw them all into one big pot of what have they ever done in football. It does not mean they aren't great universities. It doesn't mean that they haven't accomplished things on other athletic endeavors in other fields. But in the sport that we mainly focus on, a lot of the Big Ten, just like, frankly, a lot of the SEC. Tell me the last time Mississippi State mattered. They haven't done a whole lot where it matters. And it would just be a little – it would be very, very, let's say, frustrating and irritating if Purdue 5 years from now is making $50 million a year from football contracts than Florida State, considering what they meant to the sport.
I love the thread. No, I think we need to come to an agreement here and now that we are going to have Rutgers be the punching
bag. Rutgers hasn't been in long enough. What about Minnesota? I can deal with Minnesota.
They're nice people, though. And they've actually won some national titles. I know a long, long time
ago. When was that? Like that was back before even white people were allowed to play. It was so long ago. It was Native Americans playing football back then.
I mean, because he makes – I mean, Drew Brees, Len Dawson, Bob Greasy, that, and Mike Allstott, that probably gets you like, all right, back – he says later on the thread, what about Illinois? What have they ever done? And Illinois really hasn't done anything in a long time.
That's a good point.
Time.
Illinois has – yeah,
but
you're
Dick,
right.
But Dick Butkus. I don't – you know, Dick Butkus. Rest in peace, my friend.
You're like, right. I don't know why – you know what? I'm going to say this. This is kind of – it's not even a backhanded compliment. I think he'll understand this. I think Purdue comes to my mind a lot because they're so good in basketball, which is the sport going on right now. And I always see them on the bottom line scroll, and they're always winning games, and they've won 30 each of the last 2 years or whatever, that they're on the forefront of my mind of those Big Ten schools just because they're so good at basketball. Let's get to the second round this year, gang. But they're so good at basketball. But you're right. Illinois, Indiana, and Minnesota all deserve as much or more grief than Purdue. Yeah, Illinois had Dick Butkus.
Yeah. Well, maybe Indiana. Let's do Indiana then, because Rutgers is all right, to your point, they haven't been in the conference long enough. If there's any big-time Hoosier fans out there, you're going to have to come with a better argument than Neuler did for us to lay off the Hoosiers. But as of right now, I motion that Indiana is the punching bag.
Purdue's mascot, doesn't he kind of look like Michigan State's mascot?
Sparty, I guess Purdue Pete is his name, and in Sparty, yeah, I don't know.
Maybe I didn't know it was Purdue Pete, but I know he holds like the sledgehammer or something, right? And a helmet, yeah. Like a work helmet.
Yeah.
And then the Michigan State guy has a weird something on his head too. But I think facially they look similar, like they could be brothers or cousins at least. I don't know. Iowa, what has Iowa done? I guess Iowa is always in the top 15, and they always give us a lot of gold during the season because they just don't like to score touchdowns. They're a better football program than those other ones that we've named. But I don't think the world would be sad if Iowa stopped playing football. You know what I mean?
Ben Spicer would be, because that's his go-to when you guys do coach.
Oh, yeah, you know? That's right.
MyBookie.ag, promo code WARCHANT. Use that when you sign up for the first time. Get an instant cash deposit bonus. March Madness nearly upon us. It is conference tournament week. Knowles in action, as we said. Later today against Virginia Tech. Disrespect. 3.5 points the Hokies are favored by. Come on. Come on. 3.5. Let's take the Knowles straight up at plus 135, everybody, shall we? MyBookie.ag, you can bet anything, anytime, anywhere. NHL. You can bet NBA. You can bet futures. Esports. They also have a live casino if you're into that kind of stuff. Just use the promo code WARCHANT when you do sign up for the first time to get that instant cash deposit bonus. Promo does require $50 minimum deposit and rollover requirement of one-timer deposit total, including your bonus for withdrawal. For full terms and conditions, visit mybookie.ag/about-us.
By the way, real quick on the way out, how crazy is it? And I'm not even asking for a comment here, but I think I have a theory that the Nebraska-Iowa Women's Big Ten Championship game drew as many viewers, like either a little bit more or a little bit less, but both were over 3 million, as the Duke-North Carolina basketball game. Men's. Same amount of viewers. Iowa, Nebraska, women. Duke-North Carolina men. Now, obviously, we know what's going on with Iowa. They have a person that's just transcended the sport. But it also says something about the men's side. How do you fix it, man? There has never been – I was just talking to some buddies of mine that are sports fans that can't name 6 college basketball players.
Yeah. Shoot. Yeah, I mean, if you eliminated Florida State players and Matthew Cleveland, I'd be like, ugh.
Caleb Mills. Don't forget Caleb Mills.
Yeah, man. Zach Edey.
But there ain't many. Tennessee –
Filipowski at Duke. I don't know anybody on Virginia. Virginia's got to have one guy that's still been there for 8 years and been in a pain in the side.
Beekman, maybe?
That guard. Yeah,
but, like, how crazy is it that that's – and so I saw something on Twitter that made sense. It's like the women's game, Angel Reese has been at LSU for 3 years. The Cameron Brink girl at Stanford's a big star. She's been there forever. Caitlin Clark, obviously, for 4 years. The Juju Watkins at USC is a freshman, but she's averaging 30 a game.
Yeah, man.
And I was thinking, like, I feel like in the women's game, they're allowed to be stars more than in the men's game. Because I guess in the men's game, you maybe want to keep all the guys happy so nobody's taking 24 shots in a game. Nobody could possibly average 30 points a game in a Power 5 conference of the men's. Because all their teammates would stop playing. Because they're like, why does he get all that? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know why women's basketball lends itself to breeding stars. No. But back in my day, folks, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf.
That's right.
Who used to be Chris Jackson at LSU. He was a 5'11 point guard that averaged 30 points a game. And he played with Shaq. And he's like, Shaq, if you want the ball, go get my board. Like, but he was I don't know. It's just Kenny Anderson averaged like 28 a game. Dennis Scott, you had all these stars. And Christian Laettner, maybe it was just I don't know. It's never felt less important and less relevant, men's college basketball. And maybe I'm saying that because Florida State's been
horrible to
mediocre for the last 3 years. But I don't think that's true. I just think something's broken on the men's side. And it's sad. It's cool for women's basketball that they have almost, I mean, they've almost equaled, in some cases, equaled or surpassed in ratings, depending on who's playing. But like the women's national championship game, yeah, got as many, almost as many viewers as the men's, maybe more than the men's national championship game. I don't know why, Aslan. I don't know why. Do
that
you?
I was going to say realignment, but I don't think that's really going to affect things all that much. I mean, maybe just the simple fact that, like, we have obviously shown just how much more important football is than everything else. Maybe that bleeds through, and maybe, I don't know, maybe it's actually more, it's more so the quality of players, because if, like, when they had that College game day on Saturday mornings, it feels so forced and contrived.
Yes, correct.
And almost like borderline pathetic. It's like, why are you even trying to do this? But if they had College game day on in gymnasiums in the early 90s, I feel like they would have been electric, though.
Uh-huh. You know, 100%. I think, I mean, obviously a lot of people would agree with this, I think, and they're probably already yelling at us, is that a lot of it does have to do with the player, the best players not staying in at school for more than a year.
Yeah, the one-and-done stuff, right.
You know, I think Zion would, well, he would have been a senior last year. But, you know, back when I grew up especially, you know, Christian Laettner, Grant Hill, they stayed 4 years.
Yeah, they pissed you off
Tim
forever.
Duncan.
Yeah,
yeah, but Tim, but you they also got really good. Yeah. Like, they were allowed to get really, really good. So the product was better. Now all the best players are 19 years old. So they're good. But, like, look, man, Scotty Barnes, I bet he scored 20 points at Florida State in a game four times, maybe.
I'd take the under. I'm not sure if I can find
maybe
that
two.
Out.
He's averaging over that in the NBA. You know, because he's obviously he's gotten better, but it's also a much more free game. It's spaced out. I don't know. I wish college basketball could become more like the NBA, where you have stars again. Like, it's fun to watch Luka play. It's fun to watch Jokic play. It's fun to watch Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and all these guys that average 30 a game or 32 a game. College basketball, you lead the league in scoring if you average 18. And it just, you know, back in my day, it was 30. You had to get to 30 to lead your league in scoring. And it's anyway, I just was thinking about that. Like, it's because I love college basketball, man. Yeah. And as we go out, there's at least a good chance, a decent chance that today will be Florida State's last game of the season. I don't think it's going to be the last game of Leonard Hamilton's career. Kenny Payne is about to get fired at Louisville. He's probably already been fired by the time you guys listen to this. And Leonard did lose to him this year, which wasn't great. But, you know, I would love for Florida State to go on a run in Washington, D.C. That seems far-fetched. But I would like for him to end his career on a positive note. And let's hope they get they at least go win a game up in D.C. Starting today against Virginia Tech, who is probably going to take a ton of threes and hit most of them, because that's what happens when they play Florida State. Both games this year, Aslan, Virginia Tech and Florida State. Virginia Tech was 11 of 23 from three in both games.
Would your thoughts on Leonard's future change at all if he made the Sweet 16? Like, do you think he would?
Yes.
Do you think he that would embolden him, or he'd be like, all right, hell of a run, I'm going
to
go out on
I
this.
Would love for him, if they saw, to get to the, so they'd have to win, they're about to go on a 6-game winning streak in March, would be incredible. What a way for him to go out.
Or let's just say they win one, they make it to tournament, they win one game. Let's say they win one
I don't,
game.
If he's cutting down a net in D.C., that would be the best. What's going to be better than that?
Yeah.
What's he going to get to? He's going to win a national championship next year? That would be the perfect way to go out. Yeah. If he's cutting down, I don't care if he loses in the first round. If they make the NCAA tournament, I know that's a weird thing to say. You would think you'd be like emboldened him, like, oh, but he's got to go it again. Yeah. That what a perfect way that would be to go out. Yeah. Don't see that happening, but I've been wrong before, everyone. So hopefully they can keep what's his name, Couture, for making 7 threes today, and they can get themselves a win so they can play North Carolina on Thursday.
Scott Barnes scored 21 points in the ACC tournament final against Georgia Tech that the Alvarado guy, I think, went berserk in.
Yeah.
That was the only game he scored 20 or more points.
Yeah, right. That's crazy.
Probably not going to be back tomorrow. We'll do one more show for you folks on Friday, though. That's the goal. I don't know. Maybe we'll do something live Thursday for Friday. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. We'll play it out.
I don't know if we could do that because Brady's got a doubleheader. Hey, unless he's not
the
in the lineup,
away,
gang.
Did the headache go away?
Yeah. If he's not in the lineup, gang, we can do a 3-hour live show.
All right, we'll get something for you folks on Friday because we love you, and it's our job as well. And I'm not going to talk anything about interviews because nobody wants to text me back. But that could apply to numerous things in my life that we're not going to dive into all right. that much. So we're done. Jeff Cameron Show back, I think, today.
All right, good. I think.
1 to 3 o'clock, tune in. If not, go to warchant.com, see what's going on the message boards. It's always a great time. Shout out to Noiler. Thanks for giving us some content to talk about on this Wednesday. We appreciate it. He's Corey Maslow. Thanks for listening to Wake Up Warchant, presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill.